It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 8:07 at News Talk WSB, 66 degrees outside. This is Lawn and Garden. 404-872-0750 is the number you can dial to get your garden questions answered. Ashton Ritchie is here from the Scotts Company. We're answering lawn questions today. And if you have a specific lawn question, we'd be delighted to hear it. Again, 404-872-0750. And Ashton, let us give away. Let's make a little happiness in somebody's life today by giving away a great weekend prize pack. Oh, Ashley, cool. Frasca. Ashley's thinking of a number between 2 and 7 this morning, which will determine who wins a pair of tickets to see Fleetwood Mac on March the 3rd. That's not right. Oh, it's 2019? We're giving away tickets today for 2019. Is this true? That's what it says on my prize pack note here. It says,
holy cow, March 3rd, 2019?
That's what it says. Fleetwood Mac. Well, if you're not doing anything on March the 3rd, 2019, at Phillips Arena, they'll have Mick Fleetwood, John McVie, Stevie Nicks, and Christy McVie there with Mike Campbell and Neil Finn. Tickets are on sale now at LiveNation.com.
Wow.
For March the 3rd?
Wow.
That's way far in advance. Well, if you would like to be the person who wins these tickets for March the 3rd, 2019, actually, who wins?
For anybody with a good enough memory to remember they now have plans on March 3rd of next year. How about caller 3?
Caller number 3 to 404-741-0750 wins tickets to see next year Fleetwood Mac. Marie in Beaufort, Georgia joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Marie, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing, guys?
Doing great. How can we help?
Well, listen, per a UGA soil report back in the winter, I applied 25 pounds per 1,000 square feet of lime to my lawn. But I applied it in late February, or very first of March, and now I'm thinking I just need to go ahead and resod my front lawn. Oh. I was going to replace the Bermuda with Zeon.
Okay.
But in preparing the lawn to be resodded, you know, I've got to use a sod cutter, you know, round up everything, use a sod cutter, remove the layer, and get it off. Am I going to have to reapply lime when I do that?
Ashton, lime doesn't travel very quickly, very far in soil. So, yeah, I think you do, Marie.
I would say that if you know, this is a great opportunity to actually mix some lime into the soil rather than just making a surface application.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have an existing lawn, you do surface application because you have to. But under an ideal situation, as just like Walter said, it doesn't travel very – it doesn't change the pH – 2 or 3 inches down for a long time.
So if you can mix it in, way ahead of the game.
And I might even bump it up to like 50 pounds a thousand.
Yeah.
Even though they said 25 pounds per thousand, because you got the opportunity to till it in before you.
Yeah. You're mixing it with a bigger soil mass, and clay soil underneath your side is probably a pH of 5 or 5.1 or something like that. And the lime will really help a lot to make the zoysia grow.
Well, there's a good question here because there's all different kinds of lime. Now, what I used was Pennington's fast-acting dolomitic lime.
Mm-hmm. That works.
With ASP, but that's what went on. And there's a lot of bare spots right now in my lawn. It's kind of a sandy. It's a lot of green moss in my Bermuda area because of the deterioration of everything and the shade encroachment. So what kind of lime do you suggest I till in, please?
Even with the Pennington fast-acting lawn, it still doesn't go that far. It's fast-acting because it's more finely ground. It's a real powdery substance. It's like, confectioner's
sugar. Pulverized, yeah.
Pulverized, really fine stuff. So it does dissolve faster and go a little bit further faster than the regular granulated lime you get in the 40-pound bag for $10. So I'm not sure I'd say there's one better than the other, particularly if you're tilling it in. Use either one, whatever the rate says on the bag.
Well, there's a calcitic lime, I think, that they sell at Pike's, and you use a lot less poundage to get the same impact. And I think it's a calcitic lime, so I think it's very fine. Much smaller bags, you know?
Yeah, that's still probably the fast-acting stuff. It's a small bag that's generally the fast-acting stuff that's been ground, pulverized more finely.
So I could follow the... recommendation on that or something?
Yeah, 25. Either way, 25 pounds of lime is 25 pounds of lime. Whether it's ground finely or ground not so fine, it's still the same poundage per 1,000 square feet. As Ashton put, suggested, 50 pounds per 1,000 would not be out of line, I don't think.
Okay, and when I till up the soil now and apply all that in there, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to actually raise a little spot that's, you know, it's kind of lower on the pressed area. I'm going to be adding a little bit of soil to that. I'm going to tilling all this stuff up, so I was going to use, you know, good quality landscape soil when I do this.
Good.
But do you recommend any other soil amendments like peat or vermiculite or anything else since I'm trying to establish a new lawn?
Nah, probably not. I mean, if in the best of all possible worlds, you could get some of the bulk landscape topsoil delivered, some of the good landscape topsoil, not the stuff that's clay off the top of some construction site. But if you wanted to till that in, that wouldn't hurt my feelings. But I'm not sure we'll get a whole lot better sod establishment with the
low spot, raising that up.
Yeah.
And then a starter lawn food.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You could till that in too. The starter food, starter fertilizer.
Oh, nice you want too. Me to? Oh, so I should till in the starter fertilizer, yeah. Not just lay it on the top.
Yeah, put it in there where the sod just gets in, eats it up. Yeah.
Okay, and then one more thing, and I've read different philosophies about whether you roll the soil bed before you lay the sod or not. A lot of landscapers say, I've never rolled my soil bed.
Then they haven't identified the low places. Rolling one time will tell you every low spot you have in the lawn. Before you lay the sod at all, it'll show you where the low spots are because it just rolls down all the little ridges. And it works fine for me. If you, I want a tabletop. I want a smooth and
especially after you rototill.
Yeah. I do roll before I lay the sod. Whether they do it or not, that's their choice.
Okay. And well, if you roll it before, do you need to roll it after?
Generally, I roll it one time after, too, just to make sure the sod is nicely pressed down into the soil, yeah.
Okay. This has been great information. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
It's great talking to you, Marie. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
13 minutes past the hour gives Renee her turn. Renee is in Johns Creek. Hey, Renee. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Walter.
Hi.
Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm
sure.
A long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm not nearly as entertaining as Nicole and Griffin.
If you know about Nicole and Griffin at 6 o'clock, Renee, you listen a long time on Saturday
morning. Well, that's what I was just going to say. I could verify my information because I'm an early riser, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, Nicole's on. It's about 6:12.
Right.
I had a quick question for you. I really am a novice. I love to listen to your show because your listeners are so informed, and I'm just the one, like, what the soy and the, you know, the fertilizer and all that. I don't do that. But the one thing I've listened over the years is you've said, you don't have to cut down your crepe myrtle.
Right.
You don't have to crepe murder it, as you called it.
Exactly.
So this year I didn't. And the tree looks great, but it's never bloomed.
Well, it's too early to bloom right now.
Really? Because there's, it looks like it started to, like it was trying to, and then there's some dead little blooms up at the top.
May is early for a crepe myrtle. You need to wait till June. Call me then and complain. Don't tell me in May that
it
hadn't bloomed yet.
Because I took your advice and I trimmed the bottom, like you said, the, you know, stray branches and things like that, and I did that, and the shape of it looks great. The only other thing is the leaves look really small. They don't look the same as when I cut it down to the stump and let it come back.
Yeah, I don't think that's any necessary something to worry about. I'm looking at the crepe myrtles in the courtyard behind our studio here. They're not blooming
yet.
They're not doing anything. They're just greened up. That's it.
So maybe the blooms, and I think Ashley asked me when I called in, the blooms that I'm seeing that look dead were from last year?
Yeah, little balls, little brown balls.
And
that's last year's. Last year's stuff.
And if you have time for one other quick question, Lantana, a couple of weeks ago, a caller called in and said his lantana wasn't coming back, and he said give it some time. Well, mine is not back at all, nothing, not a leaf, not anything. And the only thing I wanted to ask is I did not cut it back like in the fall. I cut it back like in the middle of winter. Does that make a difference as to whether it's going to come back?
In my experience, not, although if you go to any garden club and say, when do you cut back your lantana, your perennial lantanas, immediately, half the club will say, I do it in the fall, and the other half will say, I do it in the spring, and they're both of them convinced the other one is wrong. But there are some lantanas which are not perennial, which will not come back. They get too susceptible to cold, and so they don't come back. But Miss Huff reliably comes back for me. Chapel Hill Yellow reliably comes back. Any more action than you
think of? I think these were Chapel Hill Yellow, and like I said, I had this beautiful bed under my palm tree. I'm the only one in my neighborhood who has a palm tree,
right.
So that's a whole other thing. But And they, nothing. I just didn't know if my pruning it back was at the wrong time.
I don't think pruning has anything to do with how well lantana comes back. But if you want to prune it in fall in 1 year and it comes back in spring the next year, you'll be convinced from then on that fall pruning is the way to do it. So,
and I would look for some little growth maybe right at the base and just see if you're seeing any growth coming.
Just teeny weeny little leaves coming at the base. Maybe it's slowed up. It's still not further, far into the spring now. So soil's been cold for the last 2 or 3 weeks. So it may still have a little bit of growth you haven't noticed yet.
All right. Well, I'm going to go out and look.
Look real closely. Little bitty, tiny, little white with green on the tips. That's what you'll see at the bottom of the lantana plant.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time and really enjoy your show.
Oh, thanks for calling, Renee. It's great talking to you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
It's 8:17. We'll be back to more Lawn and Garden after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves, the lawn and garden advice you need.
What's the connection between the Bare Naked Ladies and today? Well, of course, we're celebrating the World Naked Gardening Day, Ashley, Richie, and myself. Tomorrow is World Pajama Gardening Day, and the Bare Naked Ladies are our favorite band, of course. Quick weekend weather update from Ackerman Security tomorrow. Today, I should start with today. Today is mostly sunny all day long. Chance of showers during the day, high of 80 degrees, low overnight around 60, 61 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny as well, high of 82, low of 61 overnight. Your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Joe in Stone Mountain joins us. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Walter. How are you?
Hey, doing great. What can we do for you, Joe?
Well, like you, I have a St. Augustine lawn.
You bet.
Beginning about 5 years ago, I started having problems with chinch bugs, and I'd like your advice on the best way to control them.
Preventatively. Ashton and I both have been talking about preventative spraying with fungicide and preventatively preventing disease. And with chinch bugs, you do not ever want to let them get ahead of you because they are far out of the gate when you start noticing the damage, the dry spots, the yellow spots that you see.
And it's fast.
They
move fast.
Yeah, they move fast. Woo.
Yes, I've had that experience.
Yeah. So I won't do it now, but give me about 2 or 3 weeks probably, Joe, and I will spray just regular garden or lawn insecticide over my lawn. The reason I don't do it now is because I still have a bunch of the ground bees. You know, I love my little ground bees coming out of the ground to do pollination in the spring. And I want to wait until all of them are gone, the nests and things in the ground are sealed off, so the surface spray that I do with insecticide hits the grass itself. It does not soak into the soil and kill my ground bees. So I wait until 1st of June probably to spray.
Do you have do you prefer a spray over granules?
For me, the spray, because again, the granules, I'm just scared it'll soak in. I don't want that to happen, so I spray. And again, if it hits the grass blades, then that's where the chinch bugs are feeding. That's what I want to kill.
I think you'll get a little longer residual from the granules.
From the granules, If you don't have bees, if you don't worry too much about that, that might be an option.
What about a combination?
Why would you do a combination? One's bad enough. Okay. I think either one would do fine for chinch bugs.
I thought of that when Ashton said, you know, for the granules have a longer lasting effect. Okay. What about alternating the active ingredient and the insecticide?
That's always a good idea. I never mentioned that much, but I'm glad you brought it up. But that's always a good idea, Joe, to swap back and forth between the active ingredient in both insecticides, fungicides. It's a great idea for roses and tomatoes in particular, but the swapping keeps their insects, the chinch bugs, from getting any resistance to the insecticide if you swap back and forth between permethrin and deltamethrin or whatever's labeled.
Bifenthrin.
Bifenthrin, it's a great insecticide.
I've used the same insecticide for the past 5 years, and that's why I was thinking of switching to bifenthrin.
I think you'd be well advised to do that.
All right. Thank you.
Joe, thanks for calling. Thanks for bringing that point up. Thank you for telling us that. It is 8:27 at News Talk WSB. Back to more Lawn and Garden, Ashton, Richie, and World Naked Gardening Day after news.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 8:35 on News Talk WSB, 65 degrees outside. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia Gardener, along with Ashton Ritchie from the Scotts Company. We're here to answer your questions about lawns, about gardens, about anything on your mind from now until 9 o'clock. But before we go to that, let's go to the smartest person in the gardening world, Mickey Gasway from Pike Nursery. Hey, Mickey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
You know, smartest person in the gardening world may weigh heavily on your shoulders.
Yeah, I'm just ignoring you.
Ashton, speaking as two married guys, I think that's probably something we're used to. So, Mickey, let's talk about the first. Y'all do such a great job choosing the right plant at the right time to put on sale for our weekend, for our Pike pick of the weekend. And I want to let you just go ahead and say, what's on sale this weekend at all Pike Nurseries?
It's hydrangeas. It is absolutely perfect.
Yeah, because hydrangeas are just now starting to color up just a little bit.
Right.
Perfect time.
Mine are just beginning to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they are beautiful. I just can't wait. I was kind of worried at first. I thought, well, mine got zapped a little bit, but they are just perfect now. And I can't wait to see them. And Mother's Day is next weekend. Sorry. And what better gift for mom than a hydrangea.
And note that both the florist hydrangea and the outdoor hydrangeas are both on sale. So you could get
a florist hydrangea
and plant it later, or you get one of the outdoor hydrangeas, the panicle hydrangeas, or one of the others, and give it to mom and plant it for her, or you could get Pike to their, you know, pick and plant service. They'd plant it for you.
That's exactly right. What more could you ask?
What more could you ask? We need, I think, Mickey, to explain to our audience that there are different kinds of hydrangeas, different, and they're treated differently. So give us the list of the different kinds of hydrangeas, not varieties, but just different species of hydrangeas.
The four groups that we have them in, we have the big leaf or French or macrophyllas, that's one. Those are the big things that we think of as hydrangeas, the big blue ones, the lace cat, the pink and blue ones. We've got those, and we've got the oak leaf hydrangeas. Right. And those we treat one way. They bloom on old wood, usually, and so we cut those back, usually like in June or July, so after they get through blooming, and we cut those back. And then the other groups we have are the arborescents, the incredible Annabelles is what they call them, Annabelles, and the paniculatas, the limelights, and all those. And those would bloom on new wood, so we cut those back usually in February, March, sometime in there.
Have you grown an incredible, Mickey?
No, I don't, but that's what I'm getting.
Boy,
for myself, for Mother's Day.
Huge flowers.
You know, last year, everybody on the hydrangea, on the garden tour last year, everybody in June, everybody had those blooming. And so I think I've got to have one. So I'm going to get one this year.
Yeah. Big blooms, big flowers, nice plant. And it's certainly an advance over the Annabelle hydrangea, which, you know, they had big flowers. Yeah, but they flopped over onto the ground. Incredible. And they stand up straight, big flowers on them. Nice, nice, nice hydrangea.
And there's a smaller incredible now. I can't remember the name of it, but the plant doesn't get quite as big. Mm-hmm. Probably the flowers don't get quite as big either, but the plant doesn't get quite as big.
So like little lime is a smaller version of the limelight.
Correct. I think it's something like that. Anyway.
So again, if you want a long blooming landscape, you can get hydrangeas that start blooming earlier in the spring. Even now, the couple of hydrangeas might be coloring up a little more than others, and then you get the June big flush of hydrangea blooms, and then you get the oak leaf hydrangeas blooming around the same time, but the panicle hydrangeas bloom in July and August sometimes, so you get a long bloom out of the panicles to extend your hydrangea season.
Absolutely.
So, all Pike Nurseries have all hydrangeas on sale 20% off this weekend, today and tomorrow. Be sure and tell the cashier, of course, this is the Pike pick of the weekend, and you will get the 20% discount on all the hydrangeas they have in stock. Pretty nice.
That's right.
Pretty nice.
And if you're interested in, if you're close by to Lindbergh, we're going to have a class on hydrangeas this morning. It starts at 9.
9 o'clock.
So if you're anywhere close by, come by and see us.
21 minutes, swing in, swing out. And Lindbergh there on Camellia Lane at the Lindbergh Plaza area, Lindbergh Shopping Center.
I'm glad you know how to say that.
What, Camellia or Camellia?
Camellia.
There have been people who've noted my pronunciation of Camellia.
Oh, you say it like my mama did.
Exactly.
So you're saying it right.
I'm saying it like my grandma.
Well, anyway, I'm looking forward to having lots of people here this morning and people coming in and getting their hydrangeas.
And then in a couple of weeks, May the 19th, I believe, is Grilling in the Garden. Look forward to that with the hot dogs and the food and the sales and all that kind of stuff in just a couple of weeks at all Pike Nursery locations, of course.
And that's fun, too.
So, Mickey, where would I go to find out where the location nearest me is? And according to Lindbergh, having the hydrangea class this morning, but where else could we go to find where all the Pike locations are going to be?
At PikeNursery.com.
Of course we could. I will see you soon, Mickey. Thank you so much
for
being with us.
Okay, bye-bye.
404-872-0750 is the number on Lawn and Garden. We go to Alice in Villa Rica. Hey, Alice. Good morning.
Hey, Walter.
Hey.
I brought a gardenia tree. Like, it was like a tree, but it was bushy up at the top.
Uh-huh.
And I planted it, and the snow damaged it when it was so cold.
Yeah.
But the leaves have not come back out. And do I need to trim the bad leaves off?
No leaves at all are on it right now? What do you mean, Alice?
It's a few leaves that were not damaged, but like half of it, the leaves are gone and it's like sticks. But do I need to trim those stems back?
Ashton and I are looking at each other with our foreheads wrinkled right now thinking, that doesn't sound good if you don't have half the leaves on the
gardenia. Was this just planted last fall or last year?
No, I planted it 2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago. Wow.
And you know, last year it bloomed, but this year this doesn't have new leaves. Could it be that it needs more water or more nutrients?
I think the winter may have zapped it, is what I really think, if you want my honest, truthful opinion, Alice. I think the winter cold killed a bunch of the stems on it. If they don't have leaves now, they're not going to have leaves later. Those stems are dead.
Yeah, you can take your thumbnail and just kind of peel the bark back a little bit and see if you see any green or white there. Just know whether it's dead or not. But
yeah.
Usually you would see something by now.
By now, gosh, 1st of May. Yeah. There's lots of leaves on there.
Okay. All righty. Well, then that answers my question.
Well, I'm sad to say I think it's going to be not such a good answer to your question, but I think that's the truth. I think half of it's got cold damage, and maybe cutting off the brown stuff will allow the other parts of the gardenia to grow in and make a little better looking plant later in the summer.
Okay. All righty. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Alice. Chris comes to us from Decula and joins us. Hey, Chris. Good morning.
Hi, Walter.
Hey.
I have a 40-foot water oak out in the front yard. The bottom limb, the biggest bottom limb, is about 5 inches in diameter, about 8 feet off the ground.
Sure.
And the leaves on that limb have started drying up and curling up, and some starting to fall off while the rest of the tree is healthy. Obviously, I know limbs die, but what do you think about that?
Is that limb shaded by the top of the tree?
Not so much that, no, I mean, it's still filtered light. And because it's still the biggest limb, it extends out further than the rest of the tree.
Wow. Why? Said the why bird.
Only that limb. Yeah. And again, they're drying. They're shriveling up.
So to me, it sounds like some water issue.
Maybe a weed killer on the grass underneath
Maybe, but then above that area would be affected too by weed killer on the grass. So you know, part on that side of the tree would all be affected up and down the tree.
It's in a pine straw bed.
Okay, so it's not, so no weed killers were put down.
Right.
No.
Sometimes when you see curly leaves, it's like aphids or something like that.
Yeah, but you say drying up is what you described it, Chris.
They're drying up and some falling off.
There's something going on that's interrupting water going out to those leaves. Now, what that something is, I don't have a clear answer. A canker or something on the limb, maybe? I mean, that's going to be more for you to figure out. And My anticipation is the limb is not going to survive. The limb will go off. All the leaves on it are withering and dying and drying up. That doesn't sound great for the tree as a whole, or for the limb as a whole, but with the tree itself, it sounds like the rest of the tree is pretty healthy.
It is.
And so be thankful for that. But my bet would be that limb is, for whatever reason, going to fail and die, and you'll cut it off and make firewood out of it. That's my bet.
Unfortunately, that's what I expected.
Yeah. But what it is, maybe when you do your pruning, if you want to do a little autopsy like you do on TV, go in and sort of cut the limb in sections and see if you can find some discoloration, see if you can find the canker or whatever it is that's stopping the water from getting out to the end of the branches.
So
it
it'd be brown underneath the...
Yeah,
the,
nice and brown.
The white wood would be brown.
All right, thank you.
All right, let us know if you find anything, Chris. I'd be very curious to see what it is. Never know. The mysteries sometimes.
Does oak, do they get a lot of canker problems? Or
not a lot.
I wouldn't think so.
No, I wouldn't think so. They get oak wilt, but oak wilt's out west, and that's not here. So we don't know about Chris quite yet. Jim's in Fayetteville. Real quickly, Jim, what you got on your mind?
Good morning, Walter.
Hey,
please,
Jim.
Please advise me how to transition, and the key words, transition, a lawn from centipede to Bermuda.
Okay. Ashton, what do you think? How do you go from centipede to Bermuda? You got a lot of sun,
if it's...
I have plenty of sun, and it's a mix of grass right now, and I want to just evolve into a full Bermuda lawn.
Okay, do you have Bermuda in there now?
I do, a little bit. Not, it's about maybe 60, 40 centipede Bermuda.
Okay. If you start just feeding it more than the centipede likes, but as much as the Bermuda likes. So if you're feeding it like four times between now and fall...
Okay.
The centipede's just not going to like that
at all,
and it's going to start to decline, and the Bermuda is going to take off.
Okay.
And as far as the mowing height,
Bermuda can take it down to an inch and a half. Centipede's about that way too.
Yeah, so that's not going to really help you a whole lot.
And if you wanted to put seed out there, it wouldn't hurt my feelings to aerate with an aerator and really thinly put Bermuda seed out and get that to seed to come and germinate as well. But Ashton is right. You're changing the environment of the grass, so it favors Bermuda by fertilizing a lot. Favors Bermuda and does not favor centipede. So you could fertilize and help some of the transition that
and,
way.
And if and also using that first feeding would be like a starter lawn food, because that the centipede won't like that.
Don't like the phosphorus.
Won't like the phosphorus in the starter.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. And it is okay to overseed them.
Yeah, it is.
The seed needs to come in contact with the soil, though.
Why I said aerate. Be sure and aerate. Make little holes in the ground so the seed has a place to germinate. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Thank you, guys.
You bet, Jim. Thanks for calling. It's 8:47 at News Talk WSB. Back to more Lawn and Garden after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves and the Lawn and Garden advice you need.
Celebrating World Naked Gardening today. Walter Reeves, Ashton Ritchie. A quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security today. The high is 80 degrees. Overnight low around 60, 61 degrees. Mostly sunny today with a chance of showers. Tomorrow, same thing, about 80, 81 degrees. And low overnight around 57. Your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. A reminder that tomorrow and Sunday you get your Sunday edition of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. They have been doing a terrific job in investigating what is going on downtown, the ex-mayor's office, and who did what to whom, and who paid all those monies out to the employees of the city of Atlanta. All that covered in your Sunday edition of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. At 8:54, we've got Chris and Roswell joining us. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
All right, Chris, what's up?
Listen, I got a giant redwood tree, red-tipped.
Red-tipped tree.
It looks like it glues its leaves on about half of the leaves on one side of the tree. And it never looked like that before. I didn't know if there was some kind of fungus going around for red tips like there was a few years ago, or what's my problem. I did notice there was mulch piled up around the base of the tree at the trunk of the ground there. I moved that away, but I didn't see any damage. But I'm just in a quandary as to what could be going on with that.
Do you see spots on the leaves, like the spot fungus
in
your head?
There's none to look at.
Huh. Just fell off.
Yeah, just all of a sudden I look out there and boom, that leaf. But it looks like the other half of the tree is okay. It's in the with the other foliage, so I can't really see up into the tips of the top of the tree, but this one on one side.
I mentioned two or three weeks ago, I mentioned the fact that a lot of red tips that I still see around Atlanta are the ones that were not pruned, the ones that don't have the big flush of new growth that gets the spot disease so readily. But if there was getting a disease, it seems to me it would not be just half the tree, it would be the whole tree. All the red tips would have the leaves and spots and things falling off of it.
Well, half of it is mixed with foliage of other trees, so I can't really see up into it like I can the part that's exposed on the other side.
And you were smart, too. You looked at the mulch at the base of the tree and you pulled it away. You don't see any damage down there because I could easily see voles or some other little ground-dwelling animal chewing the bark of the red tip on one side and cause that side to drop leaves and the other side to be fine.
Well, the diameter of the base, the trunk of the tree at the ground is probably 16 inches. It's a big tree.
It's a big tree, yeah. Don't have an answer for you, Chris. If I did, I would tell you, but I don't have an answer right this minute unless you can tell me something new and different that would make the leaves on that side drop. Can't figure that one out.
I don't know. I guess I'll have to go look and see what kind of spots would be on the leaves.
Look for those red-tipped leaf spots. They're very distinctive. You know what they look like. They're purple little round dots all over the leaf. And
brown dots.
Yeah, and the leaves fall off as a result. So look and see if you see them on the other side, the unaffected side so far. And if you do, fungicides, of course, can be sprayed. Daconil, one of the garden fungicides, can be sprayed to stop it. Well, 8:56 at News Talk WSB. A great Saturday morning. I got to spend it with my friend Ashton Ritchie from the Scotts Company. Thank you, Ashton.
Great fun.
Where will we get some information about Scotts products and about Ashton Ritchie himself?
Scotts.com, or if you want to follow my blog, I'll answer your questions there. Tips from Ashton,
Ashton Ritchie. Ashley Frasca screened our calls this morning, answered calls off the air. Jason Byers got all that nice naked music this morning to celebrate World Naked Gardening Day. Of course, tomorrow is World Pajama Gardening Day. Information on either one of those websites, worldnakedgardeningday.com, worldpajamagardeningday.com. And thanks also to the people who do our newsletter. The email newsletter came out this past Thursday with information about champion trees and about how to take care of maples that have been pruned poorly. The full weekend forecast comes in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. I'll be here next Saturday. See you then.